All right, hello all, and welcome to episode 90 of the Man-to-Man NBA show for all those keeping count at home. I am JP, and you will meet Liam, and you'll meet Andy, two of the best-looking men I've ever seen in my life, very soon. However, before we get to them, I got to talk to you today about WynnBET. Do you want to bet with the best? Last night, Saturday night, UFC, fights going up all over the place. You want to throw a little money down? If you want to do that, and you live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, or Virginia, you can do that with WynnBET, WynnBET. All you have to do is click the link in the description of whatever platform you're listening on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., or click the link in any of our social medias at Man to Man Podcast. WynnBET's hooking up all of our listeners with a pretty sweet gig. If this is your first time betting, you can deposit anywhere from $1 up and get $100 in store credit to bet with. Or you can opt in and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 and you cannot lose. You want to bet $999 on, say, the Rockets coming out and winning the next 40 games? You can do that, and WynnBET will help you with that, and you cannot lose. You can literally only win. So help us out. Help yourself out. WynnBET, WynnBET. Go get those bets in. Make yourself some money. And now with that out of the way, let me introduce to you these two good-looking men. You may or may not be able to see them if you're listening on YouTube. Liam, Andy, gentlemen, how are we doing on this fine Sunday evening?
I'm doing well.
What's up, JP?
I'm doing very well. I know, Andy.
Doing good, man.
Andy, you having some good times over there, I know.
It's always a good time, man, where I'm at, man. No bad days. Went to the Titans game today, man. Big shutout. I don't think we felt that in a minute. It's been more than 2 years.
It was the Jaguars, so it wasn't the best.
Shut up, though, dude. Like, no field goal? Like, come on now. Let's put some respect. I know. I get it. You know, I'm a Titans fan. Like, I get it, you know. But a shutout's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm living. I'm breathing. A shutout in the NFL. Let's get 3 points here. No, I don't think so, dude. A couple interceptions. Jayon Brown was back for the first time. Looked good. Julio back in the lineup. Tannehill did well. Fursker. It was a good overall performance, baby. Tighten up one time, baby. Tighten up one time.
Urban Meyer wants to be fired so, so bad. Get his ass out of Jacksonville. Maybe, I don't know, find his way back in the college ranks. But that's football talk, and we're here to talk about basketball, specifically the National Basketball Association, the NBA. Now, gentlemen, I have a question for you to start us. And it's, first off, will we ever get tired of talking about Ben Simmons not playing? Because trade season's heating up on December 15th. All free agents that do not have other clauses are able to be traded, even people that just signed this last offseason. With that in motion, a lot of teams are starting to look, hey, kick the tires on Ben Simmons in Philly. One team really looking that way, y'all's beloved Indiana Pacers. Miles Turner's on the block. Sabonis is on the block. Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert. Do we think there's a market for Ben Simmons at the moment? Are the Indiana Pacers that team? Is it somebody else, a.k.a. the Portland Trailblazers and C.J. McCollum when he's back healthy? To get us going today, I'm going to pass it over to Liam because I know he's got something to say about his Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, I follow the Pacers, you know, daily news on the Twitter, and I saw the notification and it said that they're willing to trade pretty much everybody on our team. And obviously the big names that pop up are, like you mentioned, Sabonis, Turner, Caris LeVert. And I say, you know, if we're going to go down that route, let's get them all moved. And obviously, I don't know if we want a Ben Simmons type, but if that's what would work, I wouldn't mind it if that's who we want to build around or, you know, rebuild, as they say. But for me, in terms of Ben Simmons, let's pump the brakes on Ben Simmons. I don't know if he's the best fit for the Indiana Pacers, but I could see, and I do, I know we've talked about it for so long now, that I do see that Ben Simmons will get moved, and we'll see where he goes. Again, I don't really know. It's almost too early, but I do think that the Pacers and the Blazers are two good teams that, you know, want to make a move. We know that the Blazers aren't, you know, truly working out with that backcourt, so... Again, I'm going to say it's almost too early to tell, and we'll obviously figure it out. But for the Pacers, if we're going to do it, let's do it now and get rid of all of our players. If that's the
we had a trade earlier with the 76ers, and they just completely turned it down right before the season started. And I think it was Brogdon and maybe LeVert. I can't exactly remember who it was. I don't think it was Sabonis and Turner, though. So we made a trade for them and gave them, you know, I think we offered like three, I don't know, second rounds or third rounds or something like that, like some kind of shitty, but the 76ers weren't biting, right? And it's probably because his value was just a lot larger than what it is now. But maybe they do it again, you know? I mean, Liam, we're Pacers guys. We want to see everybody go. LeVert, Brogdon, even like, you know, TJ Warren or somebody like that. Miles Turner, throw him in. Is that an acceptable trade now? Do the 76ers, and we're talking about, you know, Portland Trailblazers vibes. But I think that's also like fake rumors, what Dame's talking about, because I don't know. It might be fake, and it might not be. But do they take that now? Like, that's the biggest question. Let's just talk about that real quick. Like, the Pacers being, you know, we're biased against the Pacers, but does that seem like a logical trade now? Like, that's the biggest question, right?
Well, I almost think it's even more of a question of what is the future for the Pacers. We see that they've, you know, battling an injury in terms of starting with Victor Oladipo, you know, 2 years ago, battling injury. Now we've moved on from Vic and kind of turning over a leaf, and we got Caris LeVert. And it's more like we see that's not working this year. They're struggling to beat, you know, the lower half of those teams. Yeah, they got some good wins here and there against some good teams, but in the big picture of it is, the more I think question, or the better question is this the time to rebuild? And if we do rebuild, then you just want to get the most value in return, if that means picks or another player to build around, and kind of just rebuild that way. Or do you just, you know, cut ties with everybody and, you know, do something like the Thunder and just start collecting strictly picks? Like, we'll get picks, and in 2 or 3 years, hopefully we hit on another, you know, like a Paul George or like a Victor Oladipo type, where you can build around that team or that player. I don't know. I think the question isn't, do they accept it? Because I think we kind of made it known that we're willing to just do whatever in terms of trading anybody on our team, at least the top guys. But I think the better question is that what is that future? Are we just scrapping it all? Are we going to keep everybody, or are we going to just, you know, make a move for one player or what? So I don't know if that really,
which hasn't really worked. That's a good question. Like, but you know, you look at the Pacers like a small market team, and do you want to give up, you know, the 5 to 7 guys that, you know, they've came here, you've acquired them, and being, you know, just like pretty much progressing them year through year, and then you just want to trade all of them for Ben Simmons, just a guy who you think might work out. So
maybe
it's
not
like,
just, I mean, obviously they won't trade all of them for Ben Simmons, but you know,
but maybe like 3 of them, it's probably still going to be like the same kind of trade though. Don't you think? Don't you think the 76ers still think that like Ben Simmons has like the same value, or at least they're hoping, probably, you know, as a general manager, like hoping that Ben Simmons has like the same value, and you know, they only trade him for like 3 players though.
And that kind of comes into the point of what the Pacers' vision is. If it's, let's just scrap it and, you know, give away players like that, maybe instead of just 2 people or 2 players in the trade package for him, or if they're willing to give 3 players in a package for him and Ben Simmons is that guy now, then that's kind of, that could be it. But it depends on what the rest of that would look like. If we give up 2, are we going to make another trade? You know, maybe Miles Turner, Caris LeVert, if he's not in that package, are we just going to start looking at everybody to be traded? Or is it just, let's, you know, move on from 2 right now and then later in the season, or maybe next season, rebuild around that or what? I don't know, really.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, obviously Pacers aren't probably going to acquire him. It's just, we're, you know, Pacers guys, we're like talking about it for a second. Sorry, guys, for everyone listening, like, this is probably like, people are probably saying this is not where he's going, right? I'm just reading that, you know, the Spurs would be a good pick for him. I think Ben Simmons is receiving, what, $33 million. It's kind of iffy. Like, who knows if he's still making money? I mean, obviously he is on that big of a contract, but if you're going to miss games, but then if you're talking about how you're missing games for like mental, you know, problems and things like that, that's in an NBA contract, how that's acceptable and things like that. So I really don't know when we talk about contract and things like that. Like we were just talking about before the episode, everything goes into that, right? But $33 million a year, right? So I'm just seeing that maybe the Spurs will be a good pick for them. Get some guys like DeJounte Murray, who's 25 years old, you know, another young guy like Ben Simmons. Maybe a trade like that, who's getting paid like $15 million. Then when it comes to contracts and things like that, if you want to do trades through the middle of the season, right, you got to kind of match it, or it just depends on the salary cap, low or high, or if you have enough, you know, cap space to fill in that extra void of whatever, you know, if you want to trade Ben Simmons for two kind of average dudes and then pay him the rest. It's everything that goes into that, right? So I'm just thinking that, like, I don't know, maybe the Spurs, that's all I'm seeing here. You know, we talk about paces, maybe the Spurs traded for DeJounte Murray. Doug McDermott's on a pretty healthy, you know, let's eat some cabbage contract over there in the Spurs. Pacers didn't want to pay him as much as he was getting paid, but I don't know if Thaddeus Young's over there, another Pacer guy, but that's just what I'm seeing in the Spurs. And Ben Simmons, they talk about, you know, Pop being that coach that kind of, I don't know, gives guys that spotlight to where he's, I don't know, he's just got the, I don't know what I'm saying, man. Pop is just the coach that is just there to build guys. You know, look at Kawhi Leonard, two-time defensive all-time MVP, you know, in the playoffs. And Ben Simmons is he's been twice on the all-defensive team in the NBA. So maybe Pop can help him out. I don't know. That's just kind of what I'm seeing. And I don't know if you guys have any other takes, but maybe the Spurs, and if they can work out a young trade like that. I know Philly's still kind of in it. They're like sixth or seventh right now in the East. So they kind of, you know, it's been shown that we don't really need Ben Simmons if we're talking about a defensive guy on the 76ers when you got Matisse Thybulle. But on the other side, you're looking at the Spurs, kind of a rebuilding team, kind of an iffy team like the Pacers. Could be a good trade. I don't know if you want to trade those younger guys, kind of a young for a young swap, and then a couple old guys, you know, that are still getting paid a weird amount. So that's kind of just what I'm seeing right there. Maybe it could be a good fit. Who knows? Pop is there to bring those guys up, and he's still young. So I think my hot take also real quick was just that Ben Simmons, we weren't going to see Ben Simmons play again this year. So I don't know if that's still like a take. I'll keep the take. I don't know, but we're talking about trade rumors and everything else. So, I mean, it's plausible, dude. We'll see what happens. That's kind of like what I'm reading into.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Spurs would be a really interesting team. I think Ben Simmons on the Spurs would be quite a fit. But something we'll see in these next few, really, I mean, weeks into months into February until the deadline, is these trade rumors starting to heat up, whether it's Ben Simmons, whether it's Kyrie Irving, although I don't think anybody will take a flyer on Kyrie this year. Or it's these other role guys, you know, it's teams on the fringe. Who's a buyer? Who's a seller? You know, are the Mavs going to look to try to pick somebody up and make a playoff run? Or are they going to look to dump some contracts? What teams like that, these kind of fringe teams that I don't think any of them are probably looking at Ben Simmons, but there's other role players. The Lakers are going to have to make some moves. They have guys on vet mins across their entire roster, which are incredible trade assets, but obviously aren't doing it for them. So in these next few months, we'll start seeing it. I expect a very, very heavy trade deadline, because while there are a lot of guys on expiring contracts, the next free agent market is not super great. So this is kind of your time to get those moves that you got to make. Even if you're not thinking this year, if you're thinking next season, the season after that.
You guys think he's going to be somewhere then? I mean, that's the question, right?
Well, I want to say this before answering that question, because there have been some talks about how good Ben Simmons is, and if he, you know, is a good player in terms of can he help a team win, and does he have to be in a perfect position? And, you know, the big question is obviously he can't shoot the ball, but let's pump the brakes on that. Ben Simmons, if any team, you know, looks at their roster and says, oh, Ben Simmons won't be, you know, he won't benefit our team, they're probably high, because at the end of the day, any team that gets Ben Simmons is going to improve no matter what, unless you already have like a Steph Curry on your team, or a point guard that's already, you know, you've already built something around Steph Curry, or even like a Ja Morant type. But I'm saying any team that wants to get or acquires him, they're going to improve. So I don't think, you know, he's great at defense. He just needs to work on his shot. He really just needs to work on his free throw shooting, because his free throw shooting is really where he gets the line and he just misses more than half of them, you know, from the ending of last season. So I think those are the two things that, you know, people have to realize is Ben Simmons is not like just a bust or anything. Everybody, every team would improve if he gets on their team. So that's, I think that's kind of where a big like draw is like, do you really want a Ben Simmons? Yes, you want a Ben Simmons. He'll make your team better. And then that's kind of where the second portion of it is, what else can you build around him, or what else does he fit into on that team and other pieces on that team? So I think that's kind of like my final take on it. But yeah, we'll see if he, I'm sure he'll go, but we'll see where he goes, obviously.
I don't know, man. I mean, getting paid that much, I might as well just kick it on the bench for a sec. You know what I'm saying? Let's relax, dude. He's probably like the most like stress-free he's ever been in his entire life. So he's probably just kicking it. So I don't know. I still don't think Ben Simmons will be in a uniform, but I guess we'll see is what we always like to say, right?
He and Kyrie are going for the record of most talked about players that are not playing at the moment. And then I think that record's going to go untouched for a while, but we're going to be done talking about it. I'm going to send it over to my man, Andy, because he's going to try to stump Liam and I once again with the trivia question. Andy.
Trivia question of the week. How many technical fouls did Rasheed Wallace receive in the 2000-2001 NBA season while he was with the Portland Trail Blazers? You get a hint, you get a question, and you get to brainstorm a little bit. So JP and Liam, take it away, since you guys want to pick brains together and I'm against you.
This is true. This is 2-on-1. This is a double team, and I expect to win all these double teams. But just doing some math here, we got 82-game season. All right. Now, the early 2000s Portland Trail Blazers were a very interesting basketball team. They were, you know, coming off jail Blazers, basically right in there. And Sheed was right in the middle of all of it. I'm thinking that a guy like Rasheed Wallace at this time had probably had the leash to get like almost one a game, one every two games. So I think we're looking at like a minimum here of like 40 to 45 techs, which I know seems insane now, but back then, I don't think they had the suspension rule or anything like that. So Liam, I'm passing over to you. I think we're looking at like a 40 to 60 range.
No, I like that. But my only thing is you brought up the technical rule and I don't think they have it in. But at the same time, wouldn't that, I feel like he would have had the record if it was every one or two games, 40. I think the record is, was like 46 or 47 a game in the season, right? So I don't know.
He has the record. He just didn't have the all time. That was Karl Malone.
No, I'm saying season, would this be the record season of that? Would that be around the same number? Is that?
I think it is. I guess that could be our question. Is this the all time record? Because we don't know that. I just assumed it was, but Ian or Andy didn't say that. So I guess we should ask that question.
So is this
in a regular season?
Is this the record for in a season? Because we had one for the career.
Yeah, yeah. It's a record for the season.
Okay, so this is the record. So
yeah. I'd like that. I was going to say, I think the record, if I remember looking at
it. I wouldn't be asking you guys, it wasn't the record for the season, baby.
I don't know. That's
the question you guys want?
This is a good.
That would be an all-time cross-up, though. Like, if you were like, actually, now it's 12. Like, it was just like a normal season. Like,
I mean, he could have one season. Yeah. He could have one season with like 40. That's not the record. And this season is the record. And it was like 40, whatever, 45 or something. Just clarifications.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm with you.
I won't count that as a question.
I think
that's the hint. But if you guys want a question, maybe I could answer a question for you.
I think it's around that 40, 45. I don't know if we go more. Do you think we go more than that? Because that's like half.
Should that be our question? He's giving us our question.
Yeah.
He's giving us our question. Should we say over under 45? Should that be our question and then go from there?
I like that. Can we get the over under 45?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you go through one bet.
So is it over 45?
It's under 45.
Okay.
Under 45. But I think it's got to be over 40, right? Like one every two games. Like that's prime Sheed. I'm going to go. All right. I'll say 42.
Andy, is that 42, right?
Yeah. Liam, do you want to guess?
I want to know if his is right. If it's right, then I won't guess.
Liam, I need a guess from you too, dude.
I'll go 44.
42 and 44. Yeah. Alright. So this guy holds the record for most career ejections with 29 and the most technical fouls in a season with blank during the 2000-2001 season. Only Karl Malone with 332 technical fouls and Charles Barkley with 329 technical fouls have more technical fouls than this guy. Rasheed Wallace in a season has received 41 technical fouls.
Well, we should.
41. One off. And it's very impressive, JP. And Liam, yeah. Like the 40s, I mean, you were within four or so three.
Exactly half of the games, basically. Yeah. He was getting teed up.
Yeah. So that's what that is.
I would have rather been like five off than one off, honestly. Because now I'm just like, damn, I should have said 41.
It's close, though, because it's like, it's a number and not a name, right?
Yeah. It's easy to estimate. Hey, you know what? That was pretty good, though. That was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm happy. All right,
cool.
Good question, Andy. Good question. Give it up to Andy.
You know, I'm just reading the internet, man. It ain't really nothing to it. That's why I'm asking the questions, baby. But I appreciate you guys. Maybe you guys can gravitate toward that 2 and 50 range that I'm at. So I think we're at like, I don't know, we'll call it 2 and 17. You know what I'm saying? Well, give me a head start here. All right. So we're gonna go into game of the week. That was a trivia question. Game of the week. Can't remember who I gamed on the week. Who was my game of the week last week? I think it was the Bulls, man. I think it was the Bulls and the Pacers a couple of weeks ago, and then it was the Bulls again, right? Yeah, it was. I did a parlay. It was Yes, I remember this. It was the Charlotte Hornets at the Bulls. Both LaMelo's or both Ball brothers, you know, LaVar's there talking. And I don't think I'm fade got anymore because I don't even know what my record is, but I think I'm like 3-3 now.
No, so me and you are still both 2-3, I believe. And JP has yet to get a W on the board at 0-2. So,
yeah.
I guess right now JP's the fake guy. Like,
right?
But
right.
I believe.
I mean, starting slow. I'll say that about anything. Like, I started slow and then I started to get hot. It's like fantasy land. Like, I'm in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, we don't got to talk about it, but I think we'll go a little different route here. My game of the week is. You know, I'm a Pacer fan. So, you know, Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry trying to break that record, Ray Allen's record for most threes all time. And it's going to happen. So that's my game of the week. So it's going to be the Warriors at my Pacers. This is Tuesday night on NBA TV. You big basketball heads, you know, if you got NBA TV, stream it. It's in Indy. Liam, you should honestly try to go to the game. It'd probably be a pretty cool game to go to. I guess I'm going to fade the Pacers again, even though I faded them last time and the Pacers beat the Bulls. I keep betting on the Bulls. They keep beating the Bulls. I'm probably going to fade the Pacers again, though. I'll do Warriors minus whatever the spread is. I think the Warriors are favored like 70% here. Steph Curry needs 7 3-pointers, you know, to break the record. 7 3-pointers. It's pretty easy for him. He's just like 16 a game. That's at least 21 points for the guy. He'll probably be going off. There'll probably be people in the stands that are screaming MVP in, you know, their own home stadium arena. So it's an easy bet, I think. Use the link in our description. Win bet. You get a free bet. Put 100,000 on the Warriors. Spread minus like 6, 7, 8, whatever it is probably up there. Do it. And if you can do a prop bet, Curry over 7 threes, that's what it's going to be. And I know that's probably going to be a minus number, but if you parlay it, you know, it'll be in a plus. So I think, I don't know, 8 p.m., 7 p.m., Warriors at Pacers, man. Klay Thompson pulling up 60 with 3 dribbles during the game. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen. So
I'd like
that's game. My game of the week. I don't know how you guys feel about that, man.
I mean, that's a good pick. I like that you brought the Pacers into it. I'll go my game of the week. I'm going to take the Lakers at the Mavericks. And Luka's coming off an injury. He'll be expected to play. I think he'll miss the next 2 games this week. I believe it's on Sunday night. So and Monday he misses the two games, but then he'll come back for the Wednesday night game against the Lakers. We'll see if that like holds up later in the week, but I think this is the time, kind of like I keep saying with teams, this is kind of the time where right before Christmas, you got to start gearing up. You got to put a couple wins together and get that momentum, because once Christmas hits and afterwards, it's the second half of the season and teams, you know, really are making the playoff pushes. If you're in the hunt or, you know, in the playoff, I guess, whatever they call it, this tournament bracket thing or whatever. So I'm going to keep riding the Lakers, hopefully. And I'll take them again. They'll probably, it depends. If Luka's playing, they'll probably be, you know, the underdog here. But if Luka's not playing, they'll probably be a favorite. So either way, I'm going to take the Lakers against the spread at whatever that is, kind of pending what Luka's injury situation is for this game. And I think this is kind of the make or break for the Lakers if they're really going to make a playoff push this, you know, next 2 weeks for them right before Christmas is, you know, if they can string a couple of them together, you know, 3-4 in a row here, maybe they don't make the changes that, you know, from everybody else's viewpoint need to be made, but maybe this is the, you know, if they start losing and don't make the, you know, couple wins in a row, it kind of really fuels them to make the changes and maybe even fire the head coach. But that's not for this section. So I'll just take the Lakers against the spread, whatever it is, against the Mavericks. I'm riding that dog. Until
that is trash pig. That is a trash pig.
We'll see. We'll see.
Hey, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought,
I mean, we're tied right now, so I'm trying to get in his head. All right.
You know, fair JP, enough. Fair enough. Hold up. Yeah, I mean, y'all are obviously in my head because I'm 0-2. My same game parlay a couple weeks ago with the Brooklyn Nets was just a few KD points off hit, and would have been a really nice adjustment to the bank account. But I'm still going to go with the Nets. Not a same game parlay this time. That's only for special occasions. I'm going with the 76ers at the Nets on Thursday night. Going to be a big game because this is really – like, last year this was the battle for the East, obviously, until the Bucks became the Bucks. But these are two teams that I think genuinely have aspirations to go very deep into the playoffs, and they have reason to believe they can. These are the games that you have to win to prove you belong and will matter come seeding. I think the Nets at home are one of the best teams in the league. I like them a lot. James Harden, this is a James Harden feast kind of game. This is a James Harden 30-15 kind of game coming in. Even though the Sixers have good on-ball defense, these are the games he likes to go crazy. KD do his thing. 76ers are a good team. They're still figuring it out. I like the Nets. I'm going to take them spread. It's probably not going to be very many. They will be a favorite because they'll be at home, but it will not be by very many points. And I'm going to take the Nets spread. And hopefully we can get on the board with a win here. And then you guys can stop fading me. But I wouldn't blame you if you did fade me. So.
That could almost be, a strategy. Just give all losing picks and just know that you fade him. He, you know, could be the best gambler of all time.
I mean, honestly, I don't know, guys. How do we feel about those? Feel like? I don't know about the Lakers, man. The Lakers, I mean, you know, I don't know, man.
Luka coming off an injury.
They're a weird team, man.
Yeah. Luka coming off
injury. You never know about the Lakers, like, right? Like, they'll come in and, you know, big night in Staples or Crypto or whatever you want to call it against the Celtics. And, you know, everyone's there. All the celebrities are there. And, you know, you want to play ball, but then you want to, you know, lose by 20 to the Grizzlies without Ja, you know, and that's on Ja. So it's like, what are you going to do about that? You know, it's really tough to bet on the Lakers at all. Right. And so AD was talking about, you know, we have to act like underdogs. I think there was an insane stat that SportsCenter posted the other day, and it was just so far-fetched out of fucking line, dude. And it was like, the Lakers as a team, it's like, does the age show is the title, and the Lakers as a team have ran like the second fewest miles up and down the court on a full length game, like throughout the whole season so far. So it's like,
I saw that.
The guys are just walking around, and like how many miles are they walking during the game? It's like almost 3 miles a game.
Well, that's also compared to like Steph Curry, who runs like 300 feet in one play, and he does that all game long. If you track Steph Curry, I think he runs like the second most behind somebody crazy in the NBA as a player, which.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are.
It's probably like TJ McConnell, honestly. Let's be real.
they are definitely old, but I can't count LeBron out until.
Westbrook is like the greatest worst player I've ever seen in my entire life.
I almost think they need to just.
And he's top 75 at the same time.
He needs to. They just need to give him the reins of the team and fuck what LeBron says and let Russell just run the offense. And I think it would be a lot better. But let's get into man-to-man worthy. JP, lead us off here, man. Lead us off.
Yep. One last Russ stat before we go. And I'm a noted.
I'm riding with you, JP. That's all I'll say. I'm riding with you.
I appreciate that. Noted Russ slander. Russell Westbrook shooting 53% from three out of the corners this year.
That's
pretty
bad.
Good. Yeah, except it's everything else he did. Everything else he does is not good.
It's all the shortest right, length that you can hit a three, but all right.
That's true.
It all still right. counts speaking all the same,
of,
big dog.
Yeah. Speaking of a little bit of Steph Curry talk we just got into, preliminary MVP voting, you know, it doesn't mean anything, but they go out and it's just good for clicks. In 100 media members, Steph was voted MVP by 94 of them. It's not the unanimous that he had at one point, but that's still pretty damn good. If it happened right now, I think he'd win. However, there's still three quarters of the season to go. And he struggled in these last couple weeks. You know, Steph Curry struggling still pretty good, but he has struggled. And he's been chasing this three-pointers made record. Is there a little pressure? Who knows? He has not been shooting as well as he usually does. Has that MVP lead been slipping? Guys like KD has been out there the entire time. Nikola Jokic is arguably playing better than he did last season in his MVP season. Giannis is healthy again, picking it up. Is this Steph Curry MVP gap that was so wide at one point starting to slip? Is it man-to-man worthy to talk about at all? And if so, who do we think is closing the gap as much as possible? I'll send it to Liam first.
So quick stat on this real quick. Talking about the Lakers in the, you know, in my game of the week real quick. One guy that was not on that ballot and did not receive a vote was LeBron James. And it kind of pays respect into the younger guys like Steph Curry and like a Giannis and like a KD in terms of taking over the torch as the like dominant best player on the floor. Because I think if you watch basketball every night, you know that LeBron James is not the best player in terms of, you know, production and getting his team to win. And like you see Steph Curry and KD getting their teams to win. They're, you know, both top two teams in their respective conferences. So I think those are the two players as of right now are, you know, will battle it out towards the rest of this season. I don't really see Giannis, you know, making a push for it. I think it's a battle between KD and Steph. And I think it only really matters is how well they do. If they're both number one in East and Western Conference, it's really going to be, you know, based on their numbers. But I would give it still, obviously, the kind of the leg up to Steph, especially once he gets this record. We're going to be talking about that for the next month, I feel like, once it happens. So I don't think it's slipping, but there is obviously, you know, another guy around the block that is also playing out of his mind, and that's Kevin Durant. So those are my two guys, I guess, is really what it comes down to that I see that could win it.
Yeah. If you want to talk about slipping, I slipped, you know, five numbers, you know, five single digits when we talk about FanDuel, because, you know, I still got this bet, right? I haven't touched the bet, but like I'm going to take the bet at some point. But you guys said, JP, you even said, wait another week, wait another 2 weeks. It was at 125. Plus 125, now it's at plus 130. KD is plus 440 per we'll call it win bet. And I don't know, man. It's not 95 or 94 out of 100. What are we really talking about here? You know, Steph Curry is going to win the MVP. I think there's no one saying that they're not going to miss the playoffs. You make the playoffs, that's another plus. You're in the other, you know, conferences. KD's gonna. I don't know the Nets. We've been talking about the Nets. They've been weird all year. The only team that hasn't been weird is really the Suns and the Warriors. So there's really, that's why there's 94 out of 100 right now. And likableness. People say, you know, the guys that are voting on these MVPs are like, yeah, you know, focus on stats and numbers and everything else. I think people like I mean, the people that vote for those kind of, you know, awards like Steph Curry more than Kevin Durant. So, you know, you can say that all you want. It might be a secret Santa, but I feel like that goes into it. And then Steph Curry is just going to Steph Curry. So I don't have any hot take on this. I think Steph Curry is just balling right now, 20-4, one of the best teams in the league. Probably win MVP. You know, this is a guy that you're talking about that's got a unanimous MVP. Not a finals MVP, but KD didn't have one either. So it's like, what are we really talking about? LeBron's not out of it. Or LeBron's not in it because it's LeBron. People have lost respect for LeBron. And probably the biggest question about that is Steph Curry taking over the reputation of the NBA over LeBron James. Probably. You know what I'm saying? It's a new generation. It's a new, like, different, I don't know. There's new viewers to the game. So I think Steph Curry's got it in the bag, but it's early. So who knows, you know, who knows, but that's, you know, if I had to put money on it, that's who it is.
Fair enough. I will fact check you real quick and say Kevin Durant does have a finals MVP, but that it doesn't
he
really
won it
matter.
With the Warriors alongside.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. He did. I'm sorry. He did.
Yeah. No, you get, I mean, it doesn't matter now. Like it's not going to impact current MVP voting, but yeah,
I'm gonna just leave the room. Actually, I'm gonna just leave the room.
All right, that's cool. But yeah, I still think right now, if I had a vote, which obviously I do not, but if I did, I would still give it to Steph at the moment. But if he does continue to struggle, and when Klay Thompson comes back, his production goes down at all, which I'm not saying it will, but it could. And these guys, other guys, Jokic, Giannis, KD, have the same production. It has to become a conversation, especially for a guy like Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets team is, like, just falling apart. I mean, guys are going to the ground around him all the time. Michael Porter Jr. is out for the year. Jamal Murray hasn't played. The bench, they don't have a consistent rotation. Michael Mullen's been doing a pretty good job as our coach, but it's because Jokic can play with literally anybody. And if he keeps putting these numbers up, he has to get votes. It has to be another look. Because he, honestly, by most advanced metrics, is right there. He's right in that 1-2. The defense has been even better than it was last year. He's still an incredible offensive player. I think Jokic is going to be the guy when it comes down to it that's going to be the biggest push with Giannis right there behind him. So I would still vote for Steph right now, but I think it's interesting.
I'll say this, though. I think a lot of people say it shouldn't matter as much, but it does. And you kind of made that point, my point, when you said that the team's kind of falling apart. And if your team's not good and not winning, you're going to lose potential votes in that kind of realm of thinking. So for me, I like what you're saying, but at the same time, if you're not winning, I don't think you can really truly be an MVP of the league. But we'll see. Obviously, they have time to turn it around, but we can move on.
They do, and the lowest seed I remember ever seeing was the Russell Westbrook 7-seed Thunder when he won the MVP. But that was obviously a very, very strange season, and honestly, in retrospect, yeah, he averaged a triple-double, but probably still should have been James Harden. But that's a conversation for a different day. Another conversation that seems to be happening every single day is the fact that in the last few weeks in the NBA and really every sports league that's going on right now, whether it be the NFL or European soccer or the NHL, is COVID numbers are just crazy high. There's guys on almost every team going out. The Hornets have been just ravaged by it. The Bulls had 9 players basically either in protocol or just coming out of it not too long ago. Do we think this is a problem that, like, teams are now kind of just getting it out of the way early as everybody's kind of starting to, you know, keep going back to regular life, the weather's getting a little bit colder? Or is this going to just continue to be a problem? Or in April, as the playoffs are rolling up, are we going to be like, oh, shoot, you know, the Suns are going to miss, aren't going to have 7 of their players in a pretty important seeding game? Do we think that, obviously, none of us are doctors. No, we only know what we can be told. But as NBA fans watching this, do we think this is going to continue to be a problem, or do we even think this is worthy of talking about at all?
I'll say this, though. I mean, again, we're not doctors or anything, but mm-hmm. we did kind of get put on notice that during the colder months of the year mm-hmm. and stuff with new variants and stuff, you know, people are going to get, you know, positive tests here and there. And I think we're kind of seeing it a little bit, but I don't think really right now you can say it's a huge problem in terms of jeopardizing our season, because, you know, we're going to still play games and they're still going to count. It just matters once this, you know, winter season comes out and we're looking towards the playoffs and stuff and see if that's a continued kind of talk, and if we see continued plays in the protocol, you know, being and creating that problem for teams not being at full strength towards the playoffs. So that's all I really will say. I'm not going to sit here and talk about it for too long, but
it's an interesting stat because I heard it the other day. There was the same amount of numbers of positive COVID tests that they've already had this year is equal to the total amount of last season. So what do we, you know, and it's also because, you know, it's the end of 21, beginning of 2022, people want to go out and have fun. That's what everyone's doing. People are acting like normal life is normal life again, you know, before everyone goes crazy and pulls a, you know, a political comment that I won't say. But I mean, can't you suggest that the numbers are going to be higher throughout the year of this year? If you're going out, you know, there are other people that chose not to be vaccinated. You're around people like that. I mean, that's your own call. So it's not surprising to me. Talk about teams. I mean, what are we really talking about here, right? Professional athletes. They're either A, going to be going out. And we talk about the Bulls with having, even the, I think it was the Hornets and the Bulls, right? Where we saw the rise. Where it was like six or seven guys at one time on health and safety protocols. That's called responsibility. And it's like, you can either be a young dude and go out and get a bag and go get, you know, fucked up on a Friday or Saturday night, not even go get fucked up and get some good food. Or you can just stay in, focus on if you're really trying to win a championship this year, or if the bag is just enough, right? So we talk about these young electric teams, and that's kind of the difference between, what are we talking about? Like a Steph Curry and the Warriors team? Or are we talking about a Bulls and a Charlotte Hornets team? I think it's about responsibility, but I say everyone's, you know, trying to live that normal life again. So what else are you going to expect? You just got to be careful. I mean, if we're going to talk about a Warriors team, they're out in California, right? We were just out there. The restrictions are insane. You know, they're not letting anybody, you know, make a glory hole in a bathroom even. So that's what, you know, that's a difference right there. Normal life, it's expected. Just be aware of, you know, surroundings, right? Like, do we really gotta, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm coming from.
How many COVID transmissions do you think have been due to glory hole usage just since the beginning? Just out of curiosity.
I'd say probably about 20 at least.
I've been there, bro. All right.
I've been there, man. I got COVID from glory holes, man.
All right. Next question. I'm not even putting a COVID take out there.
Yeah.
Number three. So as COVID numbers do go up, something else that's been the term is crazy, but real NBA heads know, people who follow the news a little bit more than just the mainstream, is that something this offseason that players were a little concerned about was that there was a ball switch. The NBA switched which ball they were using. They went from Spalding to Wilson, which I know seems like a very small thing, but for guys who spend how many ever hours a year shooting a basketball, it does matter to these guys, most of them. There's been some talk about that being the case for shooting numbers being down across the board, 3-point percentages down, like not just one player, but the entire league. Field goal percentage down, free throw percentage, not really. There hasn't been much of a change. However, people attributed it to a slow start at the beginning of adjustment, but now we're a quarter of the way through the season, the numbers are still down. Is this because of the ball? Is there just better defense being played? Is this a story at all, or is this still just a slow start? We shouldn't talk about it until the All-Star break. What do we think?
So the only thing this reminds me of is when I was growing up and you would go and play at the YMCA, you know, and everybody, you walk in and everybody knows kind of like the feeling of the ball that they like. And if you win and you don't like the ball that you just used that, you know, you played with and you got your own, you can bring out your ball that you know that you like and the feel of it. So obviously I do think that the ball matters. I would like to see and really break down the true differences in terms of each, you know, category and how much they're down. And maybe if it's just some other, you know, stat that goes into, you know, whatever it is. But I do think the ball matters, and I always like playing with a certain ball. And if you switch that up, then obviously that's a problem, or not a problem, but just something you have to overcome and get used to. So for me, if it wasn't, I mean, I don't think it was down too much. If it was, then, you know, it would be a lot bigger conversation. But for me, I as a basketball player, I always liked having the same ball or, you know, playing. And if you change that up on me, then you know how that is. It's like, fuck this ball.
I feel that. I mean, yeah, I definitely feel where you're coming from, man. I love playing with a good ball, man. You know, but that's me. Like, what's the difference between me, you, and JP and other boys that are getting paid millions? You know what I'm saying? It don't matter, man. You can shoot a trash bag and it should go into the fucking rim. It goes to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. I need the good ball, you know? If I shoot with any other ball, I'm probably airballing. If I shoot with a good ball, I'm probably hitting rim. It's probably hitting backboard, then rim. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really think this is a change the ball up, you know? Shoot the damn ball. Like, what's the biggest difference we're talking about here? I totally get that, but, you know, it kind of pisses me off just because, like, I mean, we won't talk about how much these guys get paid, but, like, that's my biggest thing when it comes to professional sports and shit like that. That's why I like college basketball a lot right now. Guys are doing it from the fucking heart. You get paid millions, you want to cry about a damn basketball? What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Shoot the ball. Shoot the shitty ball. It should probably go in. I get it's more realistic than that, guys, but these guys we talk about, I talked about James Harden a couple weeks ago. One of the guys that if you're going to be a superstar in the league, then adjust your game. You know, if you want to change the ball up, adjust the game. And then we'll really see who's really shooting, you know, got lucky with a shitty ball and then got lucky with another shitty ball that we're playing with right now. So it's like, you know, play ball, man. These guys ain't grew up at a Y, Liam. These guys grew up, you know, fucking barnyards and shit, dude. Like, what, much worse. I don't know, man. It's not really much to me, man. You know, if you want to miss a shot, let me get a thou wow for every shot you miss.
The stuff that gets you irritated, Andy, always fascinates me. It's just like, but I'm with it. So the crazy part for me,
I'm a blue collar kind of guy, and I know these other guys are too. So what are we talking about?
You know, fair enough. I did play. I played basketball all throughout high school. Still love play pickup. For me, I was a Wilson Evolution like stan. Like, that was my ball. If they had a Wilson Evolution, I think we used them at my high school. I loved them. I really never used Spalding. So for me to hear the switch over, I was like, oh damn, they're probably gonna start hooping with the Wilson Evolution. That's like the best ball in the market. That's what I thought. Turns out not every NBA player agrees with me, but I think the shooting numbers are down for a lot of reasons. I think it's because a lot of guys, including Damian Lillard, had like a slow start to the year. And it paces up. And shots are not falling. They will start falling. It's not a big deal to me. And the ball, at the end of the day, like Andy so eloquently said, put the ball in the rim, man. We in college, you use a different ball. Not that everybody in the NBA played in college, but a lot did. And you could be using a different ball.
It's like we're talking about guys that are Garrison Matthews putting the ball in the rim. Mm-hmm.
He don't care. Garrison Matthews doesn't care. He just putting that thing
up. Put the ball in the rim. Yeah. You're coming from college playing with a Spalding or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Put the ball in the rim.
Ball on the rim. Put the ball on the rim.
I know that's not what we're really talking about, and I apologize. We can go to the next thing, but no. Like, I don't know, dude. But
I think it's a good point.
People into our episode talking about, like, they don't, you know, people listen to the episode might not like a lot of basketball. Put the ball on the rim. That's what we're talking about. It's a make or miss league, right?
Another contributing factor, which I was just looking at, was that there has also been like an uptick in how the game has been playing. It's a lot faster. It's getting faster and faster. There's, you know, more three-pointers, more shooting in general. You know, we don't have a big dominant, you know, back you down, dunk on you type of big man in the game anymore. And that's starting to be a contributing factor in terms of, you know, it's easier to make closer shots if you're putting up threes and, you know, just shooting more than maybe just layups and stuff. And, you know, that could be affecting it too. But I'm kind of with you. I think you kind of got me going a little bit, Andy. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Just put it in the goal, man. Put it in the goal.
I'll put it in the rim if you don't want to. You know what I'm saying? Give me a chance. You see the guys that go out and win 50 grand at a halftime show and put the ball in the rim at half court?
Come on, guys. Stop saying doing? Put the ball in the rim? It's all right, put the ball in the goal. It's a goal.
In the hoop.
I don't think it's a goal, dude. I think goal is soccer.
It's a hoop.
All right, that's a different conversation in general, because I've actually had this argument about what are you shooting at in basketball.
But it's a rim, bro. It's a rim.
But you don't put the ball in the rim.
We'll talk about it later.
It's a goal. You put it in the rim. Or a hoop.
All right, I'll give you a hoop. That's a hoop star. All
right. Into the next one, just because we're running out of time a little bit. Somebody who's really good at preventing teams from putting it in the ball or the ball in the rim or hoop or goal or anything above. Rudy Gobert, reigning defensive player of the year. He has been the target of some slander for a pretty good amount of his career. Some of it's warranted, some of it's not. But recently, some Minnesota Timberwolves players, including Pat Beverly, who just a menace, always has been, said that Rudy Gobert, because he wasn't guarding Cat the entire game, can't really be the defensive player of the year if you're not guarding somebody's best player. That's a fair statement. And then they went a little bit farther and said Rudy Gobert, maybe not as good as they think. Anthony Edwards was talking about the Jazz defense and how they were able to beat it just by being fast, which is inherently a shot at their best defensive player. However, something that gets a little lost in the wash here is the Jazz beat the Timberwolves by 30 points. It doesn't matter who was playing defense on who. If you lost by 30, you got your shit rocked. So for me, I'm just wondering, and again, I'm not a huge Rudy Gobert fan, but personally, I think this slander, especially coming from the Timberwolves, after you just got ran off the floor, is incredibly unwarranted. I don't support it. Rudy Gobert is an amazing defensive player. His every stat shows it. Does he have some deficiencies when he gets in double teams against more athletic guys? Yeah, but every big does, ever. So, besides maybe Giannis. But I think the Rudy Gobert slander is overrated. I think he's a great player. And unless you all vehemently disagree with me, I think this is probably going to go around as pretty much agreement.
Oh, I'm good with leaving it like that. I think you put it very eloquently. Mm-hmm. If it was a closer game, then I think they might have had a better case of their argument. But, you know, who am I to say you can't talk shit during a game? Because I did a lot of that. But at the same time, you can't be blown out by 30 and having your conversation be heard. So
I don't know, man. three all-time defensive player of the year. I have something about Cats being double teamed. Anthony Edwards is saying that, you know, Cat can take him. I think the only thing I'm reading up is kind of confusing. And I don't know if this, like, fact check me, because, you know, I've been fucking stupid all night. But Patrick Beverly is the one that criticized Rudy Gobert for not guarding Karl Anthony Towns, the guy that's on his team. So that's what I'm seeing. And all right, you don't get to really choose who you guard, but at the same time, like, is that even a valid argument? Probably not, because you probably get to choose who you guard with whatever situation you're dealt with right then and there in that second. So,
I think it's overblown. It's just the Timberwolves trying to make some noise, which I appreciate, and I like Anthony Edwards a lot. Pat Bev is Pat Bev, but
it's probably just Pat Bev just hyping him up, you know? That's all that is.
I mean, I'm sure it's Pat Bev being it's in his own unique way being a great teammate. But and people love Pat Bev when they're on their team; they don't love him when they're playing against them. So,
and he also has
the reason he's still in the league.
Yeah, he also has some like defensive pride too in himself. You know, I mean, he prides himself on being defense. So if he can call out another defensive player of the year for not playing defense, he's going to take every option to do that. So I think that's all that was really at the end of the day. But. Mm-hmm.
A minor story in the cycle. And that leads us to a story that has been everywhere from a minor story to a major story. And it's the last man-to-man we have for the day. It's the Zion Williamson saga. He might be on the way back. Maybe. He was supposed to already be back by now, but that has not happened. He's apparently had a setback in his return to play. A stat that's kind of been floating around as every game he misses, it gets a little bit wider, is the fact that he is essentially now barely played. Actually, he hasn't. He's below now. In half the eligible games that he's been on the Pelicans roster, he's played in half, and he's missed half due to injury or sitting out, whatever it may be. This is your number one overall pick in a draft that's been pretty good with a lot of other players. And I'm not going to say Zion Williams is not an incredible player, because he is. And when he's healthy, he's the best man around the basket in the league. But he's never on the floor. One out of every two games over the course of 3 years. Is at this point, are they waiting for Zion to be in game shape? Does it matter because the Pelicans are atrociously bad? Are they protecting his value? Is Zion protecting his own value? Where do we think we are in the saga right now? Do we see an end? Is it worth talking about at all?
Biggest thing I always, you know, we talked about it in our episode to open the season, I believe, or one of the first opening episodes of the season is, what is the ceiling for Zion? And the biggest thing that I think me and Andy kind of agreed upon, because I remember, I don't think we both had the same take about this, but I think we both agreed upon is if you're going to be a star player in this league, you have to be, like you said, JP, on the floor. And you can be the best player in the world, and if you don't play the game of basketball, who are you actually helping? You're not helping yourself. You're not helping your team. And that's kind of where I think we kind of left the conversation kind of going into this year. And we see kind of the same thing happening. What, how much of an impact can you be if you're not actually on the floor? And for Zion to be, again, some people say he's out of shape and not in game shape. And there's conversations about his body type not working out and this and that. You have to be able to be on the floor to even give that an argument, because, yeah, you can say he's overweight and it doesn't work. And maybe that's due to him being injured because of his body style. But if he can't even make it on the floor, there's no argument to be had, really. You have to see it. And, yeah, as of right now, it hasn't worked because he hasn't been on the floor. And that might be due to a lot of things, but obviously the injury and stuff is the main portion of it. But to be a bust and this and that, you have to be on the floor. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from this. Is
that was our argument. Kid's a bust.
Yeah.
Kid's a bust for sure. Played 85 games at NBA, he's missed 86. Like, you know, everyone deals through injuries. We're talking about, my fault. I was talking about Derrick Henry a couple hours ago, talking about that hairline fracture that he has on his foot, right? You know, obviously older than Zion Williamson, two different sports, obviously older, but, you know, two different injuries. But with young guys, it's, your body should be by now back to, you know, what it's supposed to be. So it's bust. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I say bust because, like, you come out, like, I never called Lonzo Ball a bust. First, I was just a big fan of Lonzo Ball. But, like, I called Markel Fultz a bust. Kid's garbage, you know? Like, you get drafted the first out of the top three picks, and it's, like, what are we talking about, you know? It's first round, why are you out so long? It's, I don't know. My argument's stupid, but, like, that's kind of how I feel. It's a hot take. I get it, but.
I don't. I almost agree with you in terms of being a bust up to this point, because, and I mean, big picture of it, Pelicans aren't good this year, and that's due to the fact that they, you know, kind of moved away in terms of building totally around Zion. They have young guys. They got brought in Steven Adams. They, you know, hoping Brandon Ingram is the guy instead of Zion right now, and so. Yeah, I almost agree with you in terms of he's a bust right now. He has the ability to change that if he ever gets on the floor. That's the biggest thing for me, is we haven't been able to really see him on the floor to change my mind or our minds in that aspect of being a bust or not, you know. So who knows? He could change it, and, you know, he could change his body style and get into really, really good shape and, you know, and just completely – basically prove us wrong. But
yeah, I mean, I apologize. It's like, who knows if going through some mental shit and anything else like that too. Like, I get that, but we're talking about strictly basketball here.
I'll say I do not think Zion Williamson is a bust. I understand the reasoning and I get it. If he never plays another game in the NBA, which is not the case, but if this is all he does in his career, then yeah, he is a bust. But when Zion Williamson is healthy and when he's playing to the best of his ability, the dude's a legitimate top 15 player in the NBA. And can go higher. He cannot be stopped around the rim by anybody big, smaller, in between. He's left-handed. He's dominant. The shot is coming together. It's at least usable. When Zion Williamson is healthy, he is that good. That, for me, is why he's not a bust yet, even though he's only played half these games. However, I understand the reasoning and can see if he doesn't play the rest of this season, and it's been, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but if that is the case, then it's the talks you have to start talking. Not maybe like as fans, we can say whatever the hell we want. But if you're in the Pelicans front office, you got to start thinking, like, we may have to move on here. Like, if he can't be on the floor for us, we need to trade him while he still has some value. Or are we talking about an extension? I don't know. So I understand it. I won't say that quite yet just because I have a lot of faith in Zion Williamson. But, Andy, I think the Pelicans front office needs to start thinking a whole lot more like you than me in the near future here, because you're bad. The Pelicans are really bad, and Zion's not helping you when he's not on the floor. The only way he can help you at this point, if he is not going to play, is if you trade him and get some things back. I don't think the Pelicans are there yet. We'll give it to the rest of the season and see what happens. And then that's all we got for Man of Manworthy. But I believe Andy has an honorable mention he'd love to shout out for us.
Yeah, so honorable mention. You know, we do these at the end of every episode. Just shout out Zebo. On a retired his jersey, number 50 for the Memphis Grizzlies. Tennessee boy over here. Liam, I know we went to a ton of Grizzlies games growing up, man. A lot of fun. We grew up on Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Mike Miller. Tony Allen. I guess even like, I'm just trying to think, Shane Battier.
Tayshaun Prince.
Tayshaun Prince is another guy. Mark Gasol, obviously. Yeah, this is, I mean, yeah, Zach Randolph is a bully, man. Memphis is, you know, the whole Dolph thing. I was even talking about the Dolph thing. Like, Memphis is still fucking legit, you know? Like, you don't want to mess around in Memphis. And it's funny, but sorry, I'll get into this. Sec. But Zach Randolph is somebody who's led on and off the court. He's just a guy who we all remember being from Tennessee, and he made a presence in the entire NBA community. Shout out Zach Randolph. One love, man. Went up against the Warriors multiple times, or I guess I think one or two times. I think two times in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and never could get it done. But a guy that's just he's a stud, and he's, you know, he's an OG. And then I'll say that, yes, he did get caught with, you know, after sacking, he went to Sacramento and then someone snitched on him. Yeah, he was moving pounds. He's moving weight from Memphis. Okay. Let's get that shit over with. Someone snitched, you know, that's what happens. You know, he's moving pounds while just making bank in the NBA and then going to Western Conference Finals. There's a little bit of respect. So, I don't think anybody else has done that. So shout out Memphis. Shout out the big 901. All right. The Grizz.
Yeah, respect.
Shout out Zebo, baby. God, Zebo. One of the more – a player – the type of player we will never really see again, I think, in the NBA. Kind of just a guy who – definitely not the most athletic dude. Just will bully you. He's got that weird little lefty touch. I really like watching Zebo. He's obviously more important to you guys than he ever was to me. But he's a fascinating guy, fascinating player. And, yeah, the fact that he was kingpinning up, moving weight through Memphis while also playing in front of thousands of people a night, that's kind of tough. I mean, that's pretty sweet.
I mean, talk about stress.
Yeah, that man's on the free throw line.
Talk about it. I got two phones, one for the plug and one for the fucking, you know, real life.
One for the plug and one for the damn front office.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll jump into Who Eats This Week, one of our new and actually one of our personal favorite segments. We can talk about some players we want to rep. I'll just start us up real quick and say that my Who Eats This Week is going to be John Collins. Power forward slash center for the Atlanta Hawks. This is the schedule the Hawks have coming up. The Houston Rockets, the Orlando Magic, the Denver Nuggets, and then the Cavaliers to finish this week up. They'll probably be playing actually when we record next week episode. The Rockets and the Magic and the Nuggets are struggling to defend good bigs, especially bigs like John Collins who can bounce, rim run, shoot the three. John Collins should be putting up 20 pretty easily in every single one of those games. Cavaliers a little bit tougher task, but I think John Collins has a big week. I think the Hawks have a big week in general. Trey Young's probably going to be dishing out assists and points left and right, but I think John Collins has a big week, and he's my pick to eat. And I think that I'll maybe throw a little money on him, a little money here and there, but on some points over, some prop bets, but that's across that bridge when we get there. And with that, I'll pass it to Andy. Andy, who you got to pick? Who's your pick to eat this week?
I don't know. Maybe no one wants to listen to my pick of the eat, but you know, and it's Candor Freedom. Obviously, last week, like you guys didn't respond, but because you know, 6 rebounds and 4 points. You know, first time back, a lot of pressure on him. You know, I mean, did anybody see that? I mean, 6 rebounds. What are we talking about? Over 5 on 6 rebounds and 5 points. It's pretty close.
I mean, hey, he did, you know, throw production out there. So I wouldn't say he was eating. He was more like getting the appetizers. You know what I mean? He was enjoying the appetizers.
Yeah.
He had one piece of a charcuterie board, and that was about it.
It was tasty, you know? Talking about charcuterie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've actually made some really fire charcuterie boards, man. I won't lie. I did that on a first date one time. Chick never talked to me after. But,
that's tough.
yeah. So anyways, My game of the week is, I'm sorry. See, that just threw me off, dog. I remember that day, man. I remember that day, man. That's fucked up. All right, anyways. So yeah, I'm gonna go kind of a low key guy because Liam, when you're talking about Lakers, Mavs, I was honestly thrown off because I thought you were gonna say the Mavs with Luka coming back, and that was your pick to eat last week. And I hope you guys don't do another pick like that, man. I'm trying to just dig, and I'm a blue collar guy, man. So we're gonna go back to the Grizzlies, the guy who I think's gonna eat, and he's been motherfucking eating. All right, Desmond Bane, right? Ja Morant's out. We had the question: what are the Grizzlies gonna do? How do they act with, you know, with Ja Morant, without Ja Morant? And they've been balling. Desmond Bane, guy out of TCU, was his first or second year, some shit like that. Drafted one of the first or second rounds. I don't know, man. We're starting to learn about this guy, right? 7-1 without Ja, and he's been their starting point guard / shooting guard. He's averaging 16 points. You know, he's a guy that's just a part of his blue collar team, and that's what you're looking for with the Grizzlies. So I think that answered the question for us. The Grizzlies are still balling without Ja Morant, right? So I think it's going to be a different Grizzlies team. He's shooting almost 50% from the field. You got Desmond Bane to continue to eat. Ja Morant's still on a, I don't know, it's still early in the season. He can come back really whenever he wants to. We're not talking about a Zion Williams situation, but it helps when they're balling, right? And you got a guy like Desmond Bane really contributing to that team and all those other guys stepping up. You know, see you, Grayson Allen. We ain't got no nut kickers over here, dog. Desmond Bane, blue collar, hand down. Bet on the guy, you know. He's getting a lot of PT. So Desmond Bane, my guy to eat. Continue to eat, man. Young blood. Appreciate you grinding for the young studs.
I like that. I like that. I'll go for who I think is going to eat. And he kind of already was eating. We didn't record. We didn't get episode out last week. But our guy, Garrison Matthews, he was eating all last week. The Rockets kind of pulled off 7 in a row, kind of shocked everybody out of the blue right there. He had 16, almost clipped 20 with 19 and 12. And I mean, they're on a 2-game losing streak right now, but I think he's going to, you know, turn heads like he always does and kind of keep making a name for himself. It's almost kind of sad that we didn't even see that he was even going to play in the NBA this year. You know, there's talks around him not even making a roster. He's too talented for that. I know that's our guy. We've had him on multiple times now. But if he keeps, you know, putting up numbers and winning games, not that the, you know, the Rockets are great, but he's going to eat. He's going to continue to eat not only this next week, but the rest of the season, I feel like. And hopefully for years to come, he's not, you know, at the end of the season thinking, where is my next NBA, you know, contract coming from? Because he's going to be kind of a household name in the league. So for me, it's Garrison Matthews.
Professional shooter, it's Gary Bird, baby.
Yes, sir. So that's who I think is going to eat. I know we're kind of running a little longer on this episode, but I will say,
it's all good, dude. It's all good.
If we, if you don't guys have anything else to talk about, I can namaste these fools out of here with that.
Namaste. William, you want to shout out?
I got one. No, I got one. I got one. I got a shout out.
I thought, are we shouting out anything else?
Yeah, yeah. I will make sure you didn't have anything else to say. You don't, you know, final words. JPC had a final word. Let me.
JP, yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, I got my final words, my shout out. Shout out the Clemson men's soccer team, national champions today. From the 8 seed all the way up, beat the 1 seed, the 4 seed, and the 2 seed on the way to the Natty. It's no joke. It's awesome. I watched those boys live a few times over the past couple of years. Super proud of them. Shout out my guys. Love bringing another Natty home. Good work, gentlemen.
Is there another shout out that you want to give, JP, real quick? Just real quick.
I mean, shout out the Lions for winning last week.
We're talking about shout out drinking 1,000 beers, brother.
Like, oh, yeah. I will. All right. Yeah. Yeah. 1,000 beers. 1,000 beers. Shout out the boys.
The boys got to know about this.
Yeah. So on Saturday, we're working to get a little something going. Going to try to get with everybody home, a little fundraiser, raise some money for the plan right now is to raise money for a charity that supports domestically abused women in Africa, a place where they obviously don't have a lot of access to a lot of help. This great group that works with them. We are going to be trying to drink 1,000. We're using the kind of like the blanket term beers. It may be seltzers, whatever. We're going to try to drink 1,000 in 8 hours. just because it's fun to do, and we're going to raise some money for charity, be helpful. So check out the socials and try to raise some money for that. You guys were super generous and continue to be for the clothing drive, and we ask that, I ask at least, that you help us out with 1,000 beers as well. So I know it sounds a little crazy, but it's something we're doing, and hopefully we succeed and we can, I don't know if that's a record. Probably not, just with everything going on, but maybe we can, well, I'll call up Guinness and see what's going on. Shout out 1,000 beers and shout out the Clemson men's soccer team.
Shout out, baby. Maybe we'll get Friday beers to come hang out with the boys for a second that weekend.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like JP said, go help out his cause. Again, we are, you know, continuing our clothing drive for next week. On our Saturday, we're going to go out and give, you know, clothing that you guys have donated to the homeless. Go shop our merch. We got our Instagram store live. Makes it super, super easy for you guys to buy merch. Just click on the photo. It takes you straight to our store. So go get our, I guess, Christmas / holiday collection, and keep on donating clothing. If you guys need any, you know, direction for that, you guys can definitely just DM one of me or Andy or JP, and we can kind of guide you in the right direction with that. But I think with that, we can namaste these fools out of here. So I'm a namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste, everybody.
Namaste. Pace the nation, baby. Shoo!